Luke chapter 5, verse 27. Jesus is in Capernaum. He's called the four disciples. I don't know how many days he'd been there, but that's his home base. He called Andrew and Peter and James and John, went fishing with them. Then he healed the leper. Then he's healed the paralytic. And then after some of these things, I don't know how long afterwards, in verse 27, after that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi. He was sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind, and he got up and he began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. There was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were sinners, and they were reclining at the table with Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes began grumbling at his disciples, and they said, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" I guess they forgot where they were because they were in a publican's house, Levi's house. But anyway, they wanted to call out Jesus. And Jesus answered, and we didn't even let the disciples answer. Jesus said, "It is not to those who are well that who need a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And in the Matthew account, he has some word for the Pharisee and the scribes. He said, God wants you to have compassion for people. You should be loving these people, not judging them and so on. And he quotes Hosea 6:6. But we're going to look at what it means to follow Jesus, because we're supposed to not just be Christians, but followers of Jesus. And that's kind of the buzzword today. Well, we're not just believers, we're followers of Jesus. We're going to talk about what that means. We're going to talk about what it means to repent. Because we need to repent in order to be saved. But then Christians need to repent every single day when you get up. You know, I've done something. I spoke to somebody out of turn. I raised my voice to my wife. I was impatient. I'm dreading going to a certain place, and I'm afraid I'm just going to be, walking around. I won't enjoy what I'm doing. And I say, "Lord, forgive me. This is your day. This is the day that you've made, and help me to rejoice and be glad in it." It's not an automatic. So I pray for that. And Lord, I've got some attitude. I need to ask you to forgive me. Help me to have patience. Help me to love on people that I wouldn't necessarily love. Because I'm yours and it's your day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for what he did, why he came, who he called. And Father, we want to be about his business. Help us to do that. Help us to not only know what it means to follow Jesus, but help us to do it. And Father, if there's anyone here who has never received Jesus Christ, that they might repent. Just say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I am lost. I don't know my way back. And I believe Jesus died for me." I pray, Father, that decision might be made and that Jesus Christ might be received as Savior this morning. Amen. You know, Luke 5 has the calling of the four disciples of Capernaum. Jesus goes fishing with them once. I've heard people tell the story that way, some pastors. Well, Jesus went out in the boat with them once, and then he called them, and they just followed him. That's what we're supposed to do. And here he met Levi. The reason I call him Levi, if you're a Pennsylvania Dutch you know, we know some Levites and we wear Levites, but if you're in the Jewish community, you call them Levi. And I've known some Levis in Philadelphia. I used to go to the Jewish, the Hebrew Christian Fellowship there. And there aren't many Levites among the Jews. They're Levis. And, of course, it's the priestly tribe. It's interesting that Levi had that name because I'm sure he got, they mocked it. You know, here's Levi, he's the priestly tribe, and he's the baddest guy in town. He's the tax collector. He works for Rome. He doesn't even come to the synagogue. But he has the name of our priestly tribe, you know. I don't think he was liked. But Jesus met him, and he asked him to follow him. I'm going to just take you back to the beginning of Jesus meeting with the disciples, because Matthew didn't meet Jesus that day, and Jesus just said, "Hey, follow me." Matthew knew what he was doing, and Jesus had talked to Matthew before that. In John chapter 1, we get the backstory of the calling of the disciples. In John 1, we have Jesus Christ presented as the Son of God. The beginning starts in eternity. In any beginning, he was already around. He was already alive. In any beginning, he was already there. And he was already with God. He was with the other persons of the Trinity. He was always there. And he was always God. He was already God. And then it goes on, and the first past tense is, and he made all things. And that's not just Jesus, but the Godhead, the Father and the Son. They created everything. But there is no past tense in that first verse. It's just who Jesus always was. He's the eternal God. And then we go down in verse 14 and it said, and that word, that logos, who always existed, who was with God before the foundation of the world, in any beginning, he became flesh at a point in time. And he tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then later on, we read John the Baptist in his ministry, and they are coming to John and saying, John, you know, I know you're preaching and you're telling us to repent. Are you the Messiah? And John said, no, I'm not him. He's coming soon. And when he comes, he's going to baptize you with fire. I baptize you with water. And when he comes, I'm not even worthy to bow down and kiss his sandals, because he's better than I am. Way better. John the Baptist was a man. Jesus was the Son of God. He said he's better than I am because he existed before I did. Whoa. We know he's 6 months younger if you read the Gospels. But he existed from all eternity, didn't he? That Micah 5:2 prophecy is pretty important. That one's coming who is from everlasting, and he's going to be born of the tribe of Judah, and so on. So John says this Jesus is coming, and then he talks about it, and then he sees Jesus, and apparently the doves were flying between heaven and Jesus. And he pointed to Jesus and he said to his disciples, behold the Lamb of God who is taking away the sin of the world. And among those disciples were Andrew and John anyway. I don't know if James and Peter were part of that group or not, but Andrew and John were among those disciples. And then he baptized Jesus. And then the day after his baptism, he saw Jesus. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And Andrew and John ran after Jesus. And they started walking with him. And Jesus said, "What do you want?" And so on. And they began to talk. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus got to the place where he was going to stop for the night and have dinner. And he invited them in and they sat down and they talked with Jesus. That's the beginning. You know, it's nice to follow Jesus, but what are we following? We're following the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. That's who we're following. And I'm sure that Andrew and John knew that. And then Andrew went and got his brother Peter and said, "I found the Messiah." I'm sure he said, "I found the Lamb of God, too." You know, maybe Peter was even there when John said it the first time. But he brought Peter to Jesus, and Jesus confirmed to Peter that that's who he was. And then we don't know when John went and got his brother James, but that had to happen, too. That's not in any text. But then we hear later on Jesus is walking, probably still around Capernaum, and he finds Philip. And he talks to Philip, and Philip begins to follow him. Not because he's nice, but because he realizes that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And he's dealt with his sin. And then Philip finds his buddy Nathanael, and Jesus calls Nathanael. Well, then we go to Luke chapter 5, and Jesus is calling these four fishermen, Peter and Andrew, and James and John. And he didn't meet them that day when they were fishing. He knew them. He called them, and they had to be saved, didn't they? They had to repent of their sin and call upon God to save them in Jesus' name. And Jesus convinced them that he was the Lamb of God. And he called them to follow him. Now, I'll tell you this early, and we'll say it again. In Luke chapter 5, when he said, "Follow me," you know what he really said? He said, you're not going to be fishing anymore. I want you to follow me, and I want you to catch men alive. So following Jesus, for those four, amounted to evangelism. I saved you, and if you follow me, like I found you. Some of you found me because John told you where to go and so on, but I found you, and I saved you. And your job to follow me is to go find other men and to bring them to me. And when he calls Levi, later on, verse 27, and he follows him, Levi gets the idea. Jesus, we don't even know what Jesus said to him besides that. But the first thing that Levi does when he quits the tax collector business is he throws a reception in his house and he invites all his tax collector buddies and all the sinners he knows, and he invites them to meet Jesus. So I'll tell you the first thing that we need to know about following Jesus, and that's a buzzword. The church where I go has said we're dedicated followers of Jesus. But when we had somebody come and examine us, and we had some buzz groups, there were about 120 of us, and they mixed us all up with older and younger, and then they asked us questions about the church. And the lowest thing on the totem pole was evangelism. We're nice. People love on each other, and there's good fellowship going on, but what's the church need? We need to go catch men. We need to do that, more of that. So we're dedicated followers of Jesus. But the first thing you do as a follower of Jesus is you start praying for men and women and boys and girls. I pray for them by name. I always believe, I don't know who said this to me, but it was a good pastor. He said, "I never talk to a man about Jesus until I've talked to Jesus about that man. I don't care if you just meet him. I met a man named Michael on my walk 2 weeks ago. And we started to just talk, and then I wanted to talk with him about the Lord. And so I prayed for him. SOS. I didn't have time to go back in house and get on my knees and pray for him for 20 minutes, but I prayed. Lord, help me talk to Michael at this time. And we did, and he came to church the next day. He was a believer, but he'd been through a divorce, and he has a 5-year-old boy, and he lives in California, and Michael's here. And Michael's not, he really wasn't walking with the Lord. And he knows it. He confessed that to me and so on. And then he came to church the next day, and he's being dealt with by some other people. But I'm praying. Pray for Michael. That's all I'll give you. If I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, it's nice that we have devotions every day, and it's nice that we say grace before meals, and I don't swear, you know. I don't curse. I try not to tell off-color stories and so on. I try to love on people because that's what Jesus told us to do. But the first thing I got to remember when he said, follow me, is you're supposed to be after people in my name. I called you guys to stop fishing and told you that I'm calling you to fish for men. And Levy gave up his tax collector business, and he was making good money. He lived in a great house. He quit his job. But Jesus didn't say, just quit your job and just follow along after me and don't do anything. I believe he told him, listen, you need to catch men. You need to reach out to men. And Levy got it right away. And I don't know how many people were in the South, but said they were a great number. And they were meeting with Jesus. And I want to say this before I forget it. Jesus was real comfortable with sinners. You bring them to him. I don't care what they've been doing. We had to put a name. We didn't have to, but the pastor asked us to a few weeks ago. Write a name of a person that you're praying for, and we'll pray for that person. Now, I thought of a guy, and this guy is somebody that I know. He turns the air blue. He's a successful man. He has his own business. But he swears like nobody ever... I feel dirty when I leave him. And I don't know what God said, put this guy's name down. He's not the guy that I would think was candidate for heaven next, but that's God's problem, and I want to ask, and I've been praying for him every day that God would help me talk to him, and then want to see him saved. I picked up a tract here at the church. They were free. John Keller, Michael's dad, had a box. He was getting rid of some of his stuff. And I found a tract that was Oliver B. Green's testimony. And I read that about 4 times just this past year. I've had it for a long time. And I was going through my stuff, and I started reading it. He was a bad dude. He was only 20 or 21 when he started to preach. But he was bad. I mean, he was a drunkard. He stole from his own parents. He stole from his employer. He was not a nice guy. The girls he dated, he mistreated. But God saved him. And later on, I used to listen to Oliver B. Green sometimes. He wasn't my favorite radio preacher, but I listened to him. He'd always pray for the soul nearest hell. And after I read his testimony, I think he means a guy like me. But I think that's a good thing to pray. And I don't know who that guy is. Maybe he's the baddest person you know. Maybe the baddest person here. Maybe you're here and you think, you know, I came to church today, but I'm the last one ever going to walk with Jesus. That's just not me. I like where I'm going. He could be that guy, or he could be the next guy that's going to die. You wouldn't know who that was, but next guy, you know, guy near his tell, is the guy who's going to die next, and nobody knows who he is. But anyway, he used to pray that. I'll tell you, if I'd have been unsaved, and I'd have kind of listened, you know. He just prayed for me. Or maybe I thought I'm willing to listen to the radio once in a while, but I don't want Jesus. And he prayed for the soul nearest hell. When I think about Jesus, he does everything wrong. He picks four fishermen. They're not rabbis. They're not scholars. They're four fishermen. And we know a couple things about these guys. We know Peter could swear. He cursed pretty good the night before the cross. And we know that, just being real, that wasn't the first time he'd ever cursed. So he knew how to do that. He's a fisherman. And James and John are called the sons of thunder. And that's not nice. It means they had the capacity to blow up. That means they were known for their tempers. Sons of thunder. Andrew seems to be the nice guy of that bunch. We don't hear much about Andrew. But he went and got his brother and so on. But first four people that Jesus called. And then, okay, get him saved, but this is your deacon board. This is your, you know, this is your inner circle. Yeah, four fishermen. And then he goes around Capernaum, and he heals a paralytic, and he heals a leper, and he talks to people about being saved and the fact that he can forgive sin. But doesn't call the leper to follow him, not to be one of his disciples. He doesn't call the paralytic, who's probably a nice guy, he had lots of friends, and they carried him to the house where Jesus was, and they really cared about him. So he could have been a nice guy. But he calls the tax collector. I don't even think that Peter and Andrew and James and John liked Levi. I mean, how'd you like the guy that always had his hand out for money? You know, he was despised. He was despised by the Jewish community. He was rich, but he couldn't go to synagogue. So we got four fishermen that are kind of crude. And Jesus, sure they were saved, but they were new converts. And he called them to catch men alive. And then he goes to a tax collector that everybody despises, and he calls him, of all people, to be my next disciple. I don't even think that, like Peter and Andrew, James and John, if they got a vote, I don't think they'd have voted Levi in, or Levi. I don't think he'd have made it. But Jesus called him. You know, he was running the show. And Levi knew what Jesus called him to. He didn't just leave his tax collection business and just walk around, but he gave a reception in Jesus' honor, and he invited all the sinners he knew, all the other tax collectors. He invited the bartenders and the nightclub owners and the gamblers and the prostitutes and the bar girls. He invited them all. And then some Pharisees and scribes showed up too. I don't know why they were there. They should have really despised him. I think they went there to see if they could gossip. And they certainly had a bunch. And Jesus was completely comfortable with these people. If we bring people in here, I don't, you know, the guy swears. Well, so what? We're bringing him to Jesus. We're not making him a deacon. We're bringing him to Jesus, you know. We need to talk to them about how to be saved. And then sometimes you don't do the whole job. I've gone over tracks with people and I've shared the gospel with them numbers of times, but they didn't get saved until maybe I brought them to church. So you do what you can, but then you invite them, and you want them to meet Jesus is what you want. And the scribes and Pharisees got all out of shape here. Religion is meeting with nice people, and we're all dressed nice, and we talk nice, and we see if we can outdo each other. That's being religious, you know. I want to be nicer than you, so on. But Jesus said that this isn't what I'm about. I'm about saving people, about saving lost people. Some of the Pharisees were saved, but you know they were like some people in the church. Now I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't play cards and I don't swear anymore. So I won't have anything to do with my neighbor who drinks or swears or gambles or cheats on his wife or whatever. And Jesus didn't ever tell us that. Invite your neighbor over, talk to him. If he has a can of beer in his hand, sit down and talk to him. You don't have to drink with him. Go get a glass of lemonade, sit down and talk to him. Don't criticize him for drinking. If he swears in your presence, you can correct him, but probably you're better off not. Talk to him. Treat him like he's valuable because Jesus says he is. And your job is not to clean him up. Your job is to have him meet Jesus. If he's a homosexual, don't be afraid to deal with him. I had a lady from another church. A guy just got out of prison when I was here. And I took him to lunch. He was a young fellow. And this lady from another church said, "I saw you with so-and-so." And she said, "Did you know he was a homosexual?" I said, "No. But it wouldn't have mattered. Why should it? Jesus died for all kinds of people. We don't decide who we're going to bring to church or who we're going to bring to Jesus. It doesn't matter." And Jesus made it clear. He said, "I came to call sinners to repentance. That's what I came for." And repentance is telling God what you're doing wrong. When you first get saved, just say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I've taken your name in vain. I've cheated on my wife. I drink too much. I'm a sinner. And I don't know how to get back and crawl out of my mess. I don't. So that's me. But I believe that you died on a Friday afternoon on a cross outside Jerusalem. And you paid for my sins. I really believe that. So I tell God the truth about me. And I tell him the truth about Jesus. And I agree, these things are both true. And I invite Jesus Christ into my life on that basis." And that's what people need to do. And that's what we have the job of, bringing them to Jesus. And I love it that this tax collector gave up his job. He was rich. But I'm glad he knew what his job was. His new job was bringing men and women to Jesus. And that's our job. We're going to be a follower of Jesus? Catch men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Be with us as we contemplate this message and as we close. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn to hymn number 657, "Cleanse Me." My heart to take. I'm going to kind of lose my voice, so would you sing the third verse, and then I'll close.
Lord, take my life and make it holy thine.
Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you that you sent your Son. And Father, if we pray, Father, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, that they would tell you the truth about themselves, that they would call out to you because they believe that Jesus Christ paid for their sin once, and that he's the Son of God. Invite him into your life. And then tell the pastor. Tell somebody. Tell anybody at the door. Tell them you did that. Tell them, because they need to talk to you and follow you up. Maybe not even today, but sometime this week. And then if you're a believer and you're a follower of Jesus, and you know your life is already, it's pretty buttoned up. It's good. You still love your wife and you're still not smoking again and you don't drink, and so on. But you haven't reached anybody in a long time. I'll tell you, we don't have to reach all young people. I know some senior citizens that need to be saved. I know some people in their 40s and 50s that need to be saved. So say, Lord, I really want to follow you, and I'm willing to do my part and write their names down and pray for them and then talk to them about you. And then invite them to church if I get a chance. But Father, I want to do that. And I repent of the fact that I've said I'm following you and I haven't cared about the people you died for. Lord, help me to do that. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.